Bartram has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in!
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Welcome back to the next episode in Kentucky Resilience Lab. I'm here with Michaela. Say hi, everybody.
Hello,
Michaela.
Everyone.
All right, guys. So Michaela and I, we kind of wanted to take it to the next level, right? We've talked thus far about all of these performance skills, these psychological skills, but today we kind of wanted to talk about a little bit more of an abstract idea. And this abstract idea that we wanted to talk about is leadership. I mean, if you think about all of the different definitions of leadership and the different ways to describe leadership, I mean, we could go on in recording this podcast for, you know, 48 days probably. So we've got democratic leaders. And democratic leaders, you know, typically make their decisions based on the input of their team. So if you think of, you know, a democracy, a democratic government style, really makes the members a true part of that decision-making process. You know, a potential pitfall of democratic leadership, though, is sometimes it can take a while to get the ball rolling, to reach that desired outcome, because sometimes we get, you know, too many ladles in the pot, right? Too many cooks in the kitchen. I think that's enough of cliche metaphors. We'll use that as cue to move on. We've got autocratic leadership, and this is the direct opposite of democratic leadership. In autocratic leadership, the leader makes her or his decisions without any input from the team members. So the adverse side, it's helpful in quick decision-making, but oftentimes it can be really discouraging and maybe cause some conflict or some not so great feelings that are directed toward the leader. We've got laissez-faire leadership, and laissez-faire is, you know, it's a French term that translates exactly to let them do. The leader, in this case, lets her, his team members make their own decisions. So this can be really helpful in empowering the team to make their own decisions and to almost take on that pseudo leadership role. That being said, it can also lead to potentially disjointed outcomes, mm-hmm. and maybe even a non-unified team, because it loses that that overall objective, it loses that goal because there's a lack of guided influence, you know, as we mentioned before. Mm-hmm. So we've got strategic leadership, and this is kind of a combination of a few different things. It's a combo of some routine operational administrative procedures, as well as growth opportunities. So if you consider, you know, basically a strategic leader makes sure that his or her team members are staying on track. So might use a lot of, you know, checklists, like strategic plans, for lack of better words. However, interwoven into those task lists, those strategic plans are opportunities for growth. Maybe some goals. Maybe you know, like a reach goal, something to really work toward. So it's a little bit process oriented as well as outcome oriented. Mm-hmm. So strategic leaders, they can be really effective because they support all aspects of a group. That being said, because they're focusing on process goals, their focus on performance goals, their focus on outcome goals, it can potentially result in leaders that spread themselves too thin, right? They're working too hard to hit all aspects of the group. And then we've got transformational leadership, and a transformational leader really engages his team outside of their comfort zones to really, you know, grow beyond where they're at. And they do so by educating the team to become leaders themselves. So giving them the tools and the resources to, you know, maybe hold the same title if in this particular situation, leadership equals a title, and maybe even surpass that title, that level of authority. It's really helpful because it fosters that growth mindset. It fosters that continued education. However, sometimes you could lose sight of, you know, an overall goal of the group because you're focusing too much on giving your team members those resources. Next, we've got transactional leadership. And in transactional leadership, leaders reward their team members for good work and punish their team members for poor work. So it's exactly, again, shameless plug on that motivation episode that Natalie and I, you know, spoke on, strictly extrinsic sources of motivation, right? They're either avoiding negative feedback or punishment, or they're pursuing positive feedback or a reward. So, you know, there is no intrinsic motivation, which could cause the team members to fade in their growth mindsets, right? It could lead the team members, you know, not tapping their true potential because they really just have to accomplish the bare minimum here. That being said, transactional leadership can be helpful because it helps establish true roles within a group, right? It helps say, Michaela, you reached your end of the year goal, so here's a reward. And that sometimes can be the nice little, you know, reminder to the rest of the team, oh, well, I got to get on my, you know what, and start doing it, right? So that is kind of what transactional leadership is. So then moving on, I promise we only have a couple more guys. We've got coach style leadership. And in this coach style leadership, the leader is he or she's a coach. You know, he focuses on identifying and nurturing the individual strengths of each team member, and even creates strategies to enable those team members to work more efficiently, more effectively. So this is similar to democratic leadership. It's also similar to transformational leadership. But what's unique about coach style leadership is that it focuses more on the individual team member strengths. So it really, you know, pinpoints each person, mm-hmm. rather than transformational leadership, where a transformational leader would just like stand up in front of everybody and say, all right, I challenge you to go outside of your level of comfort here. So it's a little bit more individualistic in nature. It can be really helpful because it creates that individualized growth program for the team members. That being said, it requires a lot of time to develop and form a cohesive unit because you're focused so much on each individual. And then lastly, we've got bureaucratic leadership. It's a really traditional approach to leadership and what makes a leader. And bureaucratic leadership, the leader might take input from the team members into consideration, So she or he might gather some information, some input, some suggestions, some ideas, but ultimately the leader makes the decision according to what she or he thinks is best for the group, and how the group will achieve the goal. So it's not necessarily as controlling as autocratic leadership. But that being said, the team members do still lack a level of inherent freedom, because that leader might not necessarily take their suggestions into consideration. And as we mentioned before, this could decrease, you know, intrinsic motivation. It could decrease innovation among team members. So I know that was a lot, guys, but you know, there, given that there's so many types of leadership, so many types of leaders, and the way that they work, what, you know, what makes them work, what makes them vulnerable to, you know, potentially be unsuccessful when leading a group of individuals, we really kind of want to engage in a dynamic conversation here. Yeah. You know, picking these apart, which kind is best? Is there one true style of leadership that works best overall? You know, does one type of leadership rear itself more beneficial in a particular setting than the other? So I kind of want to hear, Michaela, you know, what is your, if you just had to say off the bat after hearing all of those, what do you think? What type of leadership is best? And you know, you can just say generically, you can say, you know, it lends itself according to the task or the context, but I just kind of want to hear what you got to think, what you have to say.
I think it really depends, and I know that that's the worst answer, but I think that each type of leadership, as you were talking about them, each has its merits. And so I think that depending on the leader, I think different leadership styles probably work with different leaders differently. Like I might, because of my personality, have more of a tendency towards more of a coach style leadership, but maybe you have a tendency more towards a strategic type of leadership. And it could just be that, you know, I'm not going to be someone who's good at trying to lead from that other type of kind of that other perspective of leadership. And so I think that from that standpoint, you can't necessarily force a style of leadership onto a leader. But then I think at the same time, I think there probably are some types that are better than others. Or I think, for example, I think typically when we talk about laissez-faire leadership, a lot of times the examples that are associated with it are things that worked initially and then didn't work in the long term. And I think that that's a type of leadership I tend to think of as not being the most successful, just in terms of kind of the examples that we see. And I think more often than not, that tends to not work out very well. But I think other than that, I think it really depends on the setting as well. Also who the leader is leading. And I think that the group is important. So, you know, for me, I think, you know, if I'm on a team, the way I'm leading my teammates would be different than if I was a coach potentially. And I might, you know, some of my leadership styles might be similar between those two groups, but I think the way I interact with my teammates would probably be different than the way I would act with my athletes, who are, you know, I'm kind of guiding them and leading them. But then I think that there are some differences just in the dynamics between the leaders in those two examples. And so I think there are a lot of styles that would overlap there, but I think that at least from my perspective, I think that there also probably would be some differences just in terms of kind of how that played out on the day-to-day basis between like that leader, whether that's the coach or the captain in the team.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I hate saying it depends, but I feel like almost 90% of the time when given a question like this, of this nature, that's the perfect response, right? Because we want to hear from you too. We want to know, like, do you think that there is one particular style of leadership that works best? And if so, let us know. If you think that maybe it depends, why do you think it depends? We really want to hear from you. So if you're so inclined, you know, comment on this episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I know you can comment that way. But if you're listening on the Instagram post, feel free to just shoot us a comment on that. Or if you're listening on Spotify or Anchor, feel free to shoot us a quick DM. We really want to hear your input on
this topic. Yeah, for sure. And I think also going off of that, like, we'd love to hear, you know, what leadership styles do you tend towards, and or what leadership styles have you found in your own personal experience that have been most effective, whether sure. that's you as the leader or you kind of as a team member being led. I don't know. I'm just curious. I'd love to hear input because, of course, like, you know, the experiences we can speak from are the ones that we've had ourselves or have, you know, heard about directly. But it would be great to hear from you guys about more of what you've experienced.
Yeah, for sure.
So to transition a little bit, to tie us back again to sports, we've been talking about sports and on and off, of course, but to really make a direct connection, we've talked so much about how many different forms leadership can take and also different definitions of leadership, but how does that really tie into sport? And, you know, how does that impact you when you are, you know, on the field leading your team, or if you're, you know, being led by someone else on your team, how does that kind of come into play, and how does that really affect your performance? I think is a big question, because we can throw out these definitions at you and we can talk about this, but what does it mean when it comes into you're actually performing, you're actually competing, and how does that connect? So something that I think is pretty interesting to talk about is just, you know, regardless of your role as a leader, I think, as I mentioned earlier, leadership can be so many different things in terms of you could be the captain of your team, or you could be an upperclassman on your team. And just, you know, that younger people on your team are looking up to you, even if you don't have that title. And I think that whether or not you have the title is not always the most important thing, because you can still be looked up to as a leader. And it's really just then how you carry yourself and kind of how you balance your role as a leader with then also your own personal performance. So something that I think is pretty important is really kind of combining some of the other things that we've talked about over the course of this podcast, not this episode specifically, but over the course of our ResLab podcast so far, of things like mindfulness and controlling the controllables. And there's some other things, but I think just really looking at, you know, how are you balancing being a leader with also your own performance? And I think sometimes if you are a leader on your team, that can become something that's all consuming. And Katie, you talked about that a little bit in talking about the definitions. And I think one example you talked about was with strategic leadership, that can, like, one of the downfalls of that is that a leader can kind of spread themselves too thin. And so then how do you respond to that? If that is a leadership style that, you know, generally works for you, but then you are spreading yourself too thin. And I think that that also can happen with other types of leadership as well. How do you balance that? You know, if you are elected captain of your team as a senior, and part of that was because of your already, like, natural leadership abilities, but then also you're a strong competitor on your team. And then you get to your senior year and you're a captain and you're overwhelmed by being a leader, that it affects your performance. How do you figure that out? And so I think that, like I mentioned earlier, mindfulness comes into play of just taking a second to realize you can't give every ounce of your being to being a leader and not give anything to yourself, because then you can't be as effective of a leader if you're not, you know, taking care of yourself first. And so I think thinking about that and taking a second to step back and think about how do I balance the way I want to lead my team or the way I want to lead whatever group it is you're leading with also what I personally need. And so I think that that's really, really important. And an example I think of is just, I was a diver in college, and my senior year I was a captain. And I think something that's interesting about diving in particular is that, you know, each time you get in the water and you do a dive, when you come to the surface, everyone's eyes are on you. Like, the judges are looking at you, your teammates are looking at you, the fans. And I think that, you know, everyone's seeing how you react. And so if you did a bad dive, everyone sees that you did a bad dive, and that already happened, but then everyone's watching to see how you react. And I think that that's such an important part of being a leader, is kind of recognizing that that happens. And, you know, I can be, you know, I just did a bad dive and that affected my chances of, you know, winning this meet or moving, qualifying for nationals or whatnot. But then is that what's most important in that moment? You know, my teammate's up next to go and she's seeing me and I don't want to, you know, like I'm a leader and she's looking at me and seeing how I respond. And so I kind of have two options is one's to sulk and be like down on myself, sad. And then the other option is to, you know, just not, I don't necessarily have to smile about it. I don't have to be happy that I did a bad dive, but just how I react in that moment and, you know, getting out of the pool and standing by as my teammate does her dive and cheering for her. And, you know, like I have that option as a leader. And I think that, not just an important, not necessarily even coming down to like the styles and to the definitions, but just thinking about on the day-to-day basis, how you carry yourself and how you balance trying to perform at a high level with also being a strong leader.
Yeah, no doubt. I completely agree with you there. Well, I mean, that's kind of all we've got, but guys, like we said, we really want to hear from you. We want that active input, that active engagement. So feel free to hit us up and make sure if you haven't already followed our social media page, it's on Instagram at KYResLab. So that's at KYResLab. We've got some really awesome resources for you there and want to hear from you and what you think about the question that we posed earlier. Michaela,
I don't think so. Anything? Thank you all so much for listening and we can't wait to hear and read your feedback.